The following episode may contain inappropriate material. Listener discretion is advised.
Hey there, classmates. Tune in to Middle Class Film Class every Monday and Wednesday for weekly movie news, streaming picks, and one deep dive review.
The Batman trailer. There was a teaser. There was a trailer. Trailer 1, trailer 2. Final trailer? I don't know if it's the same one. How many trailers do we need?
Exactly. Leave an email or a voicemail to join in the discussion.
Bullshit artist!
Yeah, buddy!
All right. You're going full Danzig.
Right, I am. My trans
you have no power over me.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another installment of the PVD Cast. I am your humble host and your podcast purveyor, John Orlando, and welcome to episode number 349. I hope all is well with you out there, and I want to thank you very much for checking out this episode of the PVD Cast. Before I talk about my guests, I'd like to highlight a couple of quick things. First, I'd like to talk about the Monroe Pop Fest. Yours truly, along with the crew from the FSF Popcast and, of course, Three Geese Podcast, we were there, we were running the panels, and look, I'm just going to be 100% honest with you all. You know, last year, the panels were not very well attended. This year, we fixed that. We had a pretty decent crowd for almost every single panel, except for the last one of the event, which... I mean, I guess I can understand if you're somebody that's been there Friday and then you were there Saturday, you might be burned out a little bit. But overall, our objective was to have some great panels, and we did. In the next couple of weeks, probably once we get into October, I have some free dates open. I'm going to start dropping some of the content from Monroe so you all can check it out. It was a great time. Thank you, Gary, very much for entrusting myself and the crew to do panels. It was a blast. It was a great show. Granted, I didn't get to see a lot of it, but from what I saw, it was a packed house. Lots of vendors, lots of cool artists, lots of celebrities there as well. It was an amazing show, as it always is. It was the 10th anniversary for the Monroe Pop Fest, and you know what? Couldn't be happier to be a small part of it, and looking forward to next year. With that out of the way, I want to talk a little bit about something I'm going to be doing this weekend. This weekend, OWA, the Ohio Wrestling Alliance, is back in action at, of course, the King of Clubs Complex in Columbus, Ohio, right off of Bush Boulevard. And it's going to be a big, big show because it is the fourth annual Good Trouble. All right, such folks as Eli Isom from Ring of Honor is going to be there. Jeffrey John is going to take on the frontman, Joss C. That should be a heck of a matchup. There's going to be a ladder match with the winners getting a future title shot. And you got five competitors that are going to just leave it all in the ring. Trey Lamar, Anthony Bennett, Carly Bravo, Jamal King, and O'Shea Edwards. There's a whole lot of other matches too that I could talk about, but it's going to be a great one. You definitely want to check it out. If you are like, I don't know, John, where can I get information? Well, it's real simple. All of the social media is at Ohio Wrestling A1. So you need information on tickets, how to get here, all that jazz. Just, again, hit up OWA through their social media outlets, and you'll get all the information that you need. I'm looking forward to it. It's a Sunday show. I didn't mention that, did I? But it's Sunday, the 25th of September, right here in Columbus, Ohio. So there you go. I've covered all the bases, when it is, where it is, how you can get tickets and whatnot. So again, come on out and enjoy some great wrestling. Good Trouble, Volume 4, presented by OWA. All right, my guest is a gentleman that's making his fifth appearance on the PVD Cast. Last time we heard from him was June of 2021, episode 288. I'm talking about Frank James Bailey. Now, Frank has a new project. It's actually a book that he has composed. It's called The Taming of April, and it is a very big departure from what he's used to doing. Frank has a very family-friendly, kid-friendly comic called Turkana. Well, The Taming of April is going to go to the opposite side of the spectrum, so to speak. It is going to be an adult-oriented rom-com. Now, when I say adult-oriented, I don't mean like overly sexual. It's going to be like a kind of like a rated R rom-com, all right? So there's going to be things that are not going to be appropriate for kids to read, but it's not going to be, you know, over-the-top sexual, you know, like borderline pornography. It's not going to be that. It's just going to be, you know, with a little bit coarser language and some topics that maybe kids shouldn't read about. And so Frank's coming on to talk about it because he's in the midst of a Kickstarter. And so we also do talk a little bit about Turkana as well. And I'll clue you in. And Frank was on the Independence Comics Creator Circle, that panel that just went down this past weekend at Monroe Pop Fest. He's joined by a few other individuals on the panel. So, but nonetheless, I hope you enjoy my conversation with Frank. And before we get to it, let me thank a great sponsor of the PVD cast. Of course, I'm talking about World's Greatest Comics. Look, I say it all the time. You hear me episode after episode after episode inform you that if you do not have a great comic book store to call your very own, to go and pick up your monthly pulls, to go and see what else is out there in terms of collectibles and toys and graphic novels, and maybe you need some back issues. If you still don't have a comic book store to spend your hard-earned money at, may I suggest that you head on over to World's Greatest Comics. They're located at 5974 Westerville Road in Westerville, Ohio. They are also on the web, wgcomics.com, and they're even on Facebook at WG Comics. But I'm giving you all the information that you need to check out the store because they've got everything for your fandom. Single issues, graphic novels, toys, comic book supplies, collectibles, hundreds upon hundreds of back issues. They got some cool stuff in the front case. I mean, some retro comics that are highly graded. You might want to pick one of those up. Look, I can continue to go on and on and on, but the bottom line is you need to see it for yourself. So once again, if you're in Central Ohio, stop on over to the store in person, 5974 Westerville Road in Westerville, Ohio. Or if you're out of the area, check them out online. Once again, website wgcomics.com. And of course, check them out on Facebook at WG Comics. All right, that being said, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to throw it to a quick break. And on the other side of the break, you're going to hear my conversation with comic book creator and author Frank James Bailey. Ladies and gentlemen, returning this evening to the PVD cast for his fifth time, Mr. Frank James Bailey. Frank, how's it feel to be on this podcast for the fifth time?
I think am I getting a record? Which is awesome. I love the way you talk about me and promote me, but it's like, is this a record? I feel like one of those long people who've been on the Saturday Night Live host thing, you know?
Yeah, yeah. You're the Alec Baldwin of the PVD.
There you go, exactly.
There you go. Well, Frank, you're the creator of two different projects, Turkana, which we'll talk a little bit about, mm-hmm. and your newest project is called The Taming of April.
Yes.
So for the listeners who may be a little bit ignorant of what The Taming of April is all about, can you give a very short summary?
The very short summary is when I was at the Gem City Comic Con in 2021, somebody looked at all my Turkana stuff and said, hey, do you think it's not for kids? And that's what gave me the seed of the idea. The Taming of April was actually a screenplay that I turned into a book. The tagline for it is, can a wild girl find true love? And what I mean by wild girl is she kind of enters what t-shirt contest. She's, you know, very promiscuous, and she does like answers the door naked when the pizza guy comes, you know, that kind of stuff. But she's a little out there. So yeah, the tagline is, can a wild girl find true love?
When you heard this from this customer at Gem City and said, mm-hmm. you don't have anything that's more adult, what were the next steps in your mind? Did you already have this already kind of figured out? April was already figured out for another project, or like, did you just go start from scratch?
Act like I said, it is actually a screenplay that I wrote back in 2005.
Oh, okay.
So all I did, it was a 122 page screenplay. I just elaborated it. I added one more extra character. I added more things to it. I had to describe things more. So it became like a 350 page book, but it was a 120 page screenplay. But somebody a long time ago told me it's a lot easier to take a screenplay, turn it into a book, as rather the other way around, turning a book into a screen, because you have to condense everything then and shrink everything. So yeah, I just elaborated and detailed a lot of things and added more, one more character and stuff. So yeah, it was interesting to me to, and I generally had it done. I was going to publish this and have it ready for the Gem City Comic Con in 2022, but and then I was going to do a Kickstarter for the special cover. And then people kept telling me, listen, you really should make the Kickstarter special to people who are going to get it. So then I held off on publishing it and said, okay, listen, you can get the regular cover if you want it on the Kickstarter. You'll be the first ones to get it. So yeah, I held off, and generally the book is done. It's just a matter of printing it. It's a matter of publishing it. And if some people want just the regular cover of it, they can get it on the Kickstarter. And there's a special cover for the Kickstarter that's only available on the Kickstarter. Matter of fact, somebody even asked me recently, they said, hey, when your Kickstarter is over, can I get one of those special covers? I'm like, if it doesn't get funded, no, because that's the way Kickstarter works. If it doesn't get funded, the things that are on the Kickstarter, I'm not going to spend the money just to, have them. So,
you know what? You mentioned something that I don't know if I've ever had a guest explain, and I've had many people on that have written a book. What's the process for publishing?
Well, there is a public, you can go to Amazon, and Amazon has their own little publishing thing, and you can put it on their, I forget what it's called now. But it was called I think it's CreateSpace. That was the place to go to a while. Now they call it something different, because you can, KDP, I think it's called, KDP. And you can get your own ISBN number from them. But you can also buy your own, and people should tell me all the time, you should buy your own. So when Turkana books were out back in 2015, 16, and 17, I had CreateSpace make the ISBN number. But this time around, I bought the ISBN number. So I can take it wherever I want to take it, to Amazon, to bookstores, whatever, whoever wants to have it. And the only thing, not to get off the subject, but the thing about The Taming of April is it's technically considered a romance novel. Although if there are novels out there that are romantic comedies, I call it a romantic comedy because it's a romantic comedy that's kind of rated R. It's not like too spicy like some romance novels are, like really hot and spicy stuff, but it's definitely not for kids. It's not young adult. It's a little more than that. I like to compare it to The Wedding Crashers from the early 2000s, or, The 40-Year-Old Virgin. They're definitely not for kids, but they're definitely not too sexualized. It's definitely something that's for adults. Okay, I get it.
Okay, because you know what? That was one of my questions, is what raunchy rom-coms influenced you when you started to write this screenplay?
The 40-Year-Old Virgin, Wedding Crashers, Knocked Up, stuff in the early 2000s that I'm certain that a lot of people have seen, at least I think so, and go, oh yeah, those are funny movies. Because I can totally, and originally that was going to be a movie. And now that it's totally, detailed and drawn out a lot more, I can almost see it like a small series on Netflix that's for mature audience. That's what I see it. Or maybe HBO Max for a mature audience. Whatever it's going to be is going to be for mature audience, that's for sure.
All right, let's talk a little bit about the challenges. I know you have to go back and remember when you started writing this screenplay. Mm-hmm. But what were some of the challenges that you had with this tale?
Well, some of the challenges, like I said, it was originally a screenplay. So it was written in like, when you write a screenplay, it's like, April says this. And then it's like, Danny says this. Adam says that. It's like you're writing in present tense, sort of. Well, when I rewrote this, I wrote it as in every character is telling you their part of the story. And I had to make it in past tense, so I sort of dated it, because even though I wrote it in 2005 and I was going to make it to today, but then some people who have been beta readers said, that would never happen today. I'm thinking, well, that might happen like 10 years ago. So it's kind of like we're going through it. Like, okay, it starts off, it's like 2008. And then it goes in. It's the whole book takes place in 2 years, 2008 to 2010. So it's kind of not really retro, but, you know, taking it back a few years, mm-hmm. Before Facebook and before YouTube, but it was just kind of starting kicking off, you know, that kind of thing. But yeah, and there are some things that, well, might not happen today, but might have happened back then, you know, that kind of stuff. But yeah, that was one of the biggest challenges. It's to make sure that these characters are telling you their story in their chapter. The first chapter is Adam telling you that, okay, he just broke up with this girl. He has been with her for a long time, but now he's living in a very small town, very small efficiency apartment, like a little studio apartment. And he has a beard and he has long hair and he's kind of chubby and he's kind of letting himself go. You know, he has to make a change. So he decides himself, he's going to make this change, and he goes out and get a haircut by April. That's the second chapter. Oh, April came into my life. You know, she's telling you how he came into the thing and how she, oh, wow, he's going to change my life, whatever else. And he's real cute and that kind of thing. And then, of course, she's talking to her friend Danny on a text message. And then the third chapter is, okay, now we're introduced to Danny, her best friend. And so then she starts telling you how they met. And so it's, I think there's like four main people telling you they're part of the story, but the fourth one is only like three chapters, but it's usually Adam, April, or Danny telling you they're part of the story.
Okay. All right. Well, let's talk about the cover, because you mentioned it for the Kickstarter. All right. Let's talk about and give some props to the artist. Who's the artist that has whipped up some of this cover, as well as some great promotional stuff too. The art is impeccable.
Okay. Now, I want to let people know the original first cover that's going to go on Amazon, the what I call the regular cover, is by my artist for Tricana, Ujavel. Now, it's just basically, it says Taming of April and has April kind of leaning to the side. But the special cover, only available on the Kickstarter, is by a guy named Robert Torres. And I'm pretty sure he's from Mexico. I don't exactly know where he's from, but I know he's not from the United States. But his name is Robert Torres. I don't exactly know where his other artwork is, because he doesn't really have a website, but I met him somewhere 5 years ago and he did some Turkana fan art for me. So when he did the Turkana fan art, I was like, I really like that. I'm going to put him aside. And now I have a project that's perfect for him. So he did some artwork for the book. And what I was going to do was, I didn't want to make this into a comic book or a graphic novel, because that would be, one, a little too graphic, and two, it's a 350-page book, so it's a long book. So my idea is, okay, if you want the special cover, you can get the special cover with pictures or without pictures. And some of the artwork that I've used for promotional items is sort of like some of the pictures you're going to see in the book, but some of them obviously says censored and stuff, because she's entering a wet t-shirt contest, and then she's answering the door naked, that kind of thing. So, show those on the internet. But anyway, so I do have a couple of more artwork that I'm going to add as a stretch goal. But of course, that's if I meet the stretch goals. But yeah, he drew up some of this artwork for The Taming of April. And there is a special cover available without pictures that's less expensive than the one with pictures. But again, you can only get the special variant cover on the Kickstarter. So that's that, and it's by his artwork too. So.
Okay, let's run down some of that Kickstarter info. I know you've mentioned some of the stretch goals. You've mentioned, mm-hmm. of course, the cover. So right now, where are you progress-wise with the Kickstarter?
Well, here it is in my second week, and I'm probably a third of the way through it. I really thought I'd be at least halfway to it, but it's not quite there yet. I'm 14 days to go. 14 days to go. I'm only looking for like $1,000 to help back this thing. And I'm at like $375. So about a little over a third of the way there. I'm hoping to get at least halfway there. The whole point is I'm trying to get this thing to be completely funded by the end. That's the most important thing. At least be completely funded by the end. Because I don't know if I told you or not, but back in 2020, I tried my first hand at Kickstarter for Turkana. At the time, I was looking for like $2,000 to help me out with something. I only got like $150. So with this Kickstarter, I'm actually have more sponsors and more backers than the last time, but I'm still not where I should be. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No, I got you. I got you.
Yeah. The bare minimum to have this thing backed by the end. That's the thing I'm really hoping for the most.
So you said 14 days. So that means it ends October 5th?
5th. Yes. Yep. October 5th is when it ends. Correct.
Okay. Got any stretch goals in mind besides the bonus art that you just mentioned a few moments ago?
A couple of them. The first stretch goal is pretty simple. People can get stickers of the pictures, which would be kind of creative. There's more pictures, of course. Now, in the book, toward the end, Danny and April go to this bar and they do this shot called the BJ. I don't know what I can mention here in your thing there, but I think you know what I'm talking about.
Got it. You don't shy away from the controversy.
So I have. Away the recipe for that. It's a special recipe for that bar. Okay. for that particular shot. Plus, she works at a hair salon. She's a hairdresser, and I figure I'm gonna have some special brushes made for that hair salon.
Oh, that's cool.
And this is one of the funniest things. Of course, it's a little more if I get all this Kickstarters done. But the last thing is the coffee mug, because there is a coffee shop where they first meet and they start talking, and it's called the Dark and Creamy Coffee House. So I'm going to have special mugs made for the Dark and Creamy Coffee House. There is a lot of sort of puns that adults get in this book.
Yeah.
That would definitely not be in a kid's book.
This is the question that I kept thinking about a lot. Are you afraid, Frank, that when April comes out, the Taming of April comes out, that you might lose fans who are, you know, avid Takana fans? They see this for whatever reason. They think, is that a fear, or do you feel confident enough that, hey, it's just a different story? It just expands out what I can offer folks at comic cons or at bookstores or whatnot. Mm. So which side are you? Are you afraid or are you pretty confident?
I think I do believe that they will look at this and go, oh, he can write something different besides Turkana. That's what I truly believe. I have a feeling I might lose a couple of people, but I have a feeling people will say, oh, you're doing something else now. Because honestly, when I'm on TikTok, occasionally I'll tell people about, oh, I got this other idea. Cause I don't know if I told you yet, maybe when we were at, Monroe Pop Fest there, I have about five other treatments, or what they call, outlines for five different stories that I haven't started working on yet. So, and these are all stories that are mainly young adult, but one's kind of for kids. Again, just different ideas. And a lot of people at different comic cons tell me, once you have more books on your table, it will give people a better idea and a better variety of what you're offering. So that's what I'm working on. Obviously, this was the easiest one because it was a screenplay turned into a book. Now I'm doing a Kickstarter for it. So now I'm going to start working on something else, probably for more young adults. I'm going to try and mix it up some. I have a feeling I might lose a couple, but the whole idea, and if you've seen my table before, there's a rack, and I put all my Turkana comics on that rack. The idea is to put the Taming of April on the other side of the table. Like completely away from that.
Yeah. And look, you know, I think that you're never going to please every single person. And so, you know, I think that that's a good attitude to have, that there might be a few people that were like, oh, well, and, you know, cop an attitude about it.
Yeah.
And again, it is for adults, folks. So if you don't understand that concept, I'll speak for Frank. You're silly. You're silly. We'll just stay with that. So, well, you know what? We've talked a little bit about it. Let's just briefly talk about, of course, Turkana, because that's what you're most known for, especially for listeners that maybe have never heard your appearance before, any of the previous four.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just talk a little bit about it. Give a brief summary as to what Turkana is all about.
Turkana is a blue-haired superhero. She has sort of lightning bolts that come out of her fingers. They make constructs. They give the constructs rules. They have the bigger it is, the faster it disappears. The longer it stays, the smaller it is, the longer it stays. The original concept was, the seed of the idea came around when my daughter was 7, which is a long time ago. She's 15 now. When she was 7, she said, Daddy, I don't like princesses anymore. I like superheroes. And that's how the whole thing started. It started off with 3 illustrated novels, but they weren't selling as much as I thought they were going to sell. So I switched to comic books in 2019. And after that, the comic books outsold the books like 10 to 1. So I still have the first three original books on my table, but that's another reason why I wrote The Taming of April, because, okay, I want to have these three books. Okay, I still take them with me, and I still have some, but once they run out on my table at Comic-Cons, I'm not going to buy any more to sell more because I have other stuff coming. So the comics will be for Turkana on that shelf, and all the other books will be on the other side. But the whole thing is, if what people want to find out more about Turkana and the characters and stuff, you can go to Turkana.com. Like I said, start off with a little bit with the illustrated novels, but it's the same world, same characters, a new storyline, new format. So the comics are kind of like in a serialized storyline. You know, there's one, there's three, there's we're trying to find who this Thea Baymont person is. And then we find out who this Thea Baymont, oh, wow, what's she going to do next? She's a big bad villain now. And I've talked to my artist just today, and we're working on comic number 7, which will be out next year. So he has to draw it and outline it and stuff. So, but he's working on comic number 7, and it's going to be called You Can't Save Everyone. Because most people know superheroes go save everybody, but they can't always save everybody. So that's what that comic is about coming out next year. It's called You Can't Save Everybody. And that teaches her a lesson that no matter how hard you try, you can't save everyone all the time. So
I'm going to interrupt my conversation with Frank for just one moment to talk to you about World's Greatest Comics. It's the one-stop shop for all your comic book related needs. They've got single issues, graphic novels, collections, toys, collectibles, hundreds upon hundreds of back issues, a friendly staff, a clean store, a great pull system. They got it all. So you need to stop by the store. They're located at 5974 Westerville Road in Westerville, Ohio. Or you can find them online. Their website is wgcomics.com, and they're even active on the Facebook page. Just search for @WGComics. How long do you see Turkana going? You said you have issue 7 ready to go here that you're working on. How long do you see it going?
I want to go as long as it possibly can. On the other end of the spectrum, I see myself sort of pausing at comic number 10, because I had this little idea for this little serialized storyline, and I'm going to stop it there for a little while if I can, and then work on more things, because it's kind of hard to work on everything at once. Even though comics only come out once a year, I would love to come out more comics, but I also want to try and maybe sell it to a network and turn it into a series someday. But it's been working on it for so long. Sometimes I feel like, okay, people love Turkana and the fan art's there and everything else, and I want to keep it going, but of course I'm also want to work on other stuff too. So I really want to go to at least comic 10, then pause it for a little bit while I'm working on other stuff and then come back to it. Maybe people will want to, hey, what's happening with Turkana? You know what I mean? So,
You know what? You just brought it up. And this is something that I mentioned, in fact, for folks that have listened to the intro, you know that I was up in Monroe and Frank was part of the independent comics creator circle. And this is something that I did bring up because I'm impressed by it. And I think, Frank, you obviously are very proud of the fact that you have a lot of dedicated fans.
Yeah.
And those fans send you some amazing artwork to show off their fandom. So can we talk just a little bit about that?
Yeah. If you go to Turkana.com, you can click on fan art. And there are people from all over the world who have drawn Turkana from the comics, from their first original books. And honestly, there's a couple, not very many, but there's a couple I thought, I like your art. You know, how much would you draw some fan art for me? So a couple of them I have paid. Or, for example, let's say I'm at a Comic-Con and this person next to me draws some really good art and they draw something for like $10. Okay, sure, I'll help you out. Maybe you can draw some fan art for me and I'll help them by plugging them, you know, that kind of thing. I'd say about 80 to 90% of the fan art that I've gotten is usually for free because they just love the characters so much. So, yeah, they can go to Turkana.com, click on fan art, and see the fan art from everywhere, and also have a couple of groups on Facebook where I actually show off the fan art as well.
All I can imagine, and I know it doesn't happen like this, but all I can imagine is you going to your mailbox and it's just overflowing with artwork. You know, people have mailed you. I know that's not how they do it in 2022. I know.
Yeah, I know.
People, but, you know, what can I say? I'm old.
But I do imagine the day, if this ever turns into a cartoon or something, that it's going to be overwhelming. That people are going to be like, oh, wow, that's Colin Curtin. You know what I mean?
You know, you mentioned your daughter's 15 and you started the book when she was, what, seven?
Seven, yeah.
How does she feel about the you know, being tied to this comic as she grows older and the book expands. What's her feelings on it?
Now, okay, this is the honest to God truth. She likes Turkana, and she likes the fact that there's a person out there that, oh, hey, that's me. But she doesn't pay as much attention to as she used to, because one, it's been going on for like 7 or 8 years.
Right.
It's not like, you know, it's a cartoon yet. And two, she's kind of she's a teenager. So she's kind of in anime. She went to a couple of Comic Cons dressed as anime characters. So it's like she has her own thing that she does now. So,
okay.
She likes going to Comic Con sometimes, but not as much as she used to. And, you know, again, teenagers have teenagers. So, but I still want to continue the books and the comics, even though maybe she's not as interested in it as she used to be. Although she's like, oh yeah, that was me. You know, it's like on one end she likes, and the other end she kind of doesn't care.
No, I got you. And you know, I think not to you know be stereotypical, but I think that's something that teenagers definitely go through, where they have a phase where, you know, whatever, you know, they find themselves in whatever mom or dad or brother or sister like, eh, that's lame, because, you know, somebody else likes it first.
Mm-hmm. So I was always in awe whenever she went to a Comic-Con dressed as Turkana and cosplayed as Turkana, because so many people, oh, yeah, you're that character. That was really awesome. Of course, she phased out of that for a while, because then she went to play as cosplay as different characters from different shows. But, you know, now she's not even in the cosplay anymore. So, you know,
yeah,
teens.
You know what? One thing I've never asked you, I believe, in the 4 times you've been on, I assume that your family's very supportive of this endeavor. You know, your wife.
For the most part, yeah. I mean, yeah. My wife, she has read all the comics and she has read all the synopsis and stuff. And it's like, on one end, she's supportive. On the other end, she's like, okay, can we sell this to somebody now? I kind of get it over with. She's read, getting back to the Taming of April, she read and edited, did the first editing, okay, of the Taming of April. And she even though she likes my creativity, she's also like, why does Adam stay with that girl? She's like, I hate this girl. Why? But on the other end of the spectrum, again, not getting off the kind of stuff, but it's like, I have a feeling everybody's going to read some of this and go, I know a girl just like that. Mm-hmm. I don't know her personally, but I know a girl just like that.
All right. Well, let's wrap up the talk about Turkana real quick. Where can folks find out about it? You mentioned that there's a Facebook page, there's a website, whatnot. Can you run that down real quick?
All right. With Turkana, you can go to Turkana.com. That is T-E-R-C-O-N-A, Turkana.com. You can see what the characters are like. You can see some of the artwork. You can order some of the comics and some of the books as well. There's also special covers of the books. You can also order posters and stuff. On Facebook, there is a group called the Turkana Fan Club. However, I'm trying to get people to come over to my new group called Author Frank James Bailey. It's basically a brand new group. No one has like maybe 130 people in it, where Turkana has like 1,000 something. But I'm going to write more stuff than just Turkana. So I only update Turkana like maybe 2 or 3 times a week. But on Author Frank James Bailey, I'm updating that like 2 or 3 times a day. Yeah, because I want to get people to know, hey, I'm going to be at this Comic-Con or that Comic-Con, or, well, here's all, you know, whatever. Plus, I'm going to have more books besides Turkana and the Taming of April eventually, so I can't put all that in Turkana stuff. They can find me. The easiest way to find me on social media is to Google my name, Frank James Bailey, because I'm on Instagram, Twitter, Tumblr. I use that sometimes. Facebook, of course, a couple of Facebook groups. But yeah, I also have a website for my voice acting, which is frankjamesbailey.com. So technically, I have 2 websites.
I forgot that, you know, you have a whole career in voiceover, because we've talked about it a few times.
But yeah,
I honestly forgot, because you've been so enthusiastic about the Taming of April and about Turkana and that in our conversation. I don't know why it slipped my mind, but why don't we talk just real quick about it? Let the folks that are listening in hear about it. So you have a voiceover career. You are a voice actor. You've done some stuff with Channel Frederator back in the day. What's some other things that you've done with your voice acting?
Mostly what I do for voice acting is radio TV commercials, podcast openings, book trailers. I've done a couple of small-time movie trailers. A lot of times I do like liners for a radio station. Like, let's say you're listening to a rock station, Rock 105, you know, Toledo's rock station, 94.5 XKR, you know, that kind of stuff. You'll hear the liner between the station. I've done those before for country radio stations, rock stations. I've done stuff for, again, for Channel Frederator, Disney's Dark Secrets, 107 Facts About Pinky and the Brain, Then Versus Now My Little Pony. I've done some radio TV commercials for, you know, just recently I did a book trailer for somebody. I've done all sorts of stuff, but I haven't done a whole lot of character work. But I like to tell people, okay, listen, even though I'm mostly radio and TV commercials and that kind of stuff, I still call myself a voice actor because I have to know the inflections. I have to know how to act for this particular commercial. I mean, you wouldn't, say, tonight on TV5, it's so, you know, it's, you have to know how to exactly what how the commercial is supposed to be read, you know?
Yeah, gotcha. And you're still doing that. You're still gainfully employed.
I'm still doing that, yeah. Okay. I don't get as many jobs as I used to because I'm putting a lot of focus on the writing, putting a lot of focus on that stuff. And frankly, I would love to be like the guy who created like Gravity Falls, or, you know, basically he does some voiceover work and then creates the show. You know, there's some people who've done that. They basically create the show, they wrote the show, they wrote the comics, whatever, and then they do some voice work on it. You know, that's what I would love to do. That's my dream job right there.
Okay. All right. Well, Frank, let's talk real quickly. You've already run down website, social media, and that. Do you have any appearances coming up soon?
Well, my last show of the year of 2022 is the Cincinnati Comic Expo. That is coming up this weekend, which is, hang on here, I'm on the calendar here, it's September 23rd, 24th, and 25th. So it's September 23rd, 24th, and 25th. That is the Cincinnati Comic Expo. I went there last year. I had a blast. Now, I didn't make a profit, but I sold enough comics to get my table money back, which is good. Of course, I got to get a hotel. It's like 4 hours away from my house, so I got to get a hotel room. So, again, I love the show. It was very profitable. You know, I sold a lot of comics last year. So I'm hoping that this year will be just as good because it's a pretty big show. It's a 3-day show in Cincinnati, Ohio. When you go to, like, let's say Fan Expo Cleveland, that's like $250 for an artist alley table. For this one, it's not that expensive. I mean, it's still over $100. It's like $120, $150, something like that. But it's still not as expensive as some of those real big shows.
Well, besides that, and that's it. Just Cincinnati's the only one that's coming up.
Cincinnati's the last one. Yeah, unfortunately.
That's the last one.
Unless somebody says, hey, you want to come to this one? Then I'll come to that one too. But it's like, you know, right now that's the last one. Then, of course, I start next year with just some new ones.
Cool. All right, let's run down the Kickstarter one final time before I wrap this up. Where can folks go to find out, to pledge their money, to pick up some cool stuff in those stretch goals and whatnot? Where can they go to find out all the details?
Well, obviously you go to Kickstarter.com and you search for, it's real simple because there is no other Kickstarter starting off with The Taming of, and you'll be able to find it. It's The Taming of April. Or I'm sure you can search my name too, Frank James Bailey, and you'll probably be able to find it. But you'll find some girl licking a lollipop on the cover. It's kind of hard to miss.
You have until October 5th to plunk down your hard-earned cash if you want to help Frank out and get this thing going. So do it, folks. Do it.
If they want it, they can go to my website, frankjamesbilly.com, and they can actually read the first three chapters. It's just like a little sneak preview of the book because I put it on the website, frankjamesbilly.com.
Frank, it's always fun, man. I enjoyed having you on the panel this past weekend up in Monroe. It was a great time. It was a great show. Enjoyed you sharing your insights with the folks up there about what it's like to be an indie comic creator. All right, with that, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to throw it to a quick break. And on the other side of the break, I'll be back to wrap up the episode. Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen, my conversation with Frank James Bailey, talking about his new project, The Taming of April. And definitely check out the Kickstarter if you want to donate, and I know that Frank will appreciate it. Just go to Kickstarter.com and search for The Taming of April, and there you can make your pledge And again, you know, it's helping out the independent creators. And that's exactly what Frank is. And by the way, also check out his Turkana stuff. It's a great kid-friendly, family-friendly book. Go to Turkana.com to check that out. And I'd like to thank Frank for taking some time out of his very busy schedule to sit down and chat with me. I really do appreciate it. And now I need to let you know where you can get in touch with me if you have a question about this episode or any episode for that matter. Well, you can find me on Twitter. My personal Twitter handle is at PVDMVP. You can shoot me an email if you like. JohnOrlando@PVDcast.com is my email address. And you can even leave me messages over on the Facebook and Instagram feeds. Just look for at PVDcast. I suppose I should clue you in as to where you can find the PVDcast. Well, first of all, PVDcast.com is the online home of yours truly, and that's probably the best avenue for getting all the episodes. But it's also available through all those major podcasting applications and outlets. All you have to do is go into the search bar of that app or outlet, type in PVDcast. Sometimes you have to put my name after it, and you should be able to find it. And if you indeed listen to an episode of the PVDcast, I need you to rate and review because it helps me out in the algorithm. These companies want to know that you are listening, and you can just give me as many stars as you think I deserve. And in just a simple sentence to tell them about your experience listening to this podcast, I would greatly appreciate it. Please help me out with that. And don't forget to subscribe, by the way, so that you never miss an episode of this podcast. Now, I've even made it easier for you to check out every single weekly episode. That is because every Wednesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, I do a Facebook broadcast through the Facebook page. Once again, the address is at PVDcast. It's a great amount of fun. I enjoy doing the broadcast because I always monitor it. And if folks have questions or comments, they can drop them in the comment box. And, again, it's a very simple, easy way for you to catch an episode of the PVDcast. And if you do listen, please make sure that you like as well. All right, that helps me out too in the ratings, so to speak. So you have a bunch of different avenues for listening to me and the PVDcast. All right, with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to get on out of here. I thank you once again for checking out the episode, and I will chat at each and every one of you later. Stay righteous. Stay independent and stay safe and healthy. Presentation of John Orlando Enterprises, LLC, copyright 2022.